Jim to bring the message tonight. I didn't know whether I would be back in service tonight or not. We conducted a funeral for a friend of mine that I worked with for 34 years. He's the one that hired me in the bread business, trained me. He was my mentor. He was a friend. And he was laid to rest. He and I was born the same year, 1952. So I got caught in traffic, and I didn't know if I was going to make it back or not. But the Lord blessed, and we were able to get back. So I'm going to get to hear some preaching tonight. So, Brother Jim, it's all yours. Take it away.
May God bless you with the word.
Let's praise the Lord. Let's give Him a hand clap of praise. I know, praise the Lord. We were downstairs having a practice, getting ready for our Easter presentation and going over the play and all, and then I heard the music upstairs, and I said, that sounds like Brother Eddie. So, praise the Lord that he's able to join us tonight. I think he got a taste of what Atlanta traffic's like again.
Didn't like it either.
Praise God, praise God. Well, that's right. I know I'm only doing it a few days a week. I know so many of you are that's doing it all week long. So, we're going to go ahead and get into the message tonight. I don't want to hold anybody long. I know it's a Wednesday night crowd. Just love each and every one of you. I am just giddy. I just love this time of year. And as we look at the Word and we have opportunities as God shows us, I just want to thank Him each and every time for being an on-time God. So if you will, let's all stand. We're going to go to a familiar chapter. We're going to go to Matthew 7. I'm going to do some extra reading, but we're just going to read 1 through 5 tonight. And when you get there, just say, praise the Lord. Matthew 7, 1 through 5. Amen. Amen. This is a familiar verse. It just says, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured unto you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considering not the beam that is in thine own eye? Oh, how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold a beam that is in thy own eye. Praise God. Praise God. I'm going to go ahead and read 5. It says, thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Brother Eddie, would you ask the Lord just to bless our word tonight, dear?
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your precious word. God, I pray tonight that you would anoint Brother Jim. God, anoint his lips to pray, God, to be a vessel to speak the word tonight to us, Lord, that we need to hear. I pray, God, that you would sanction every word goes forth. I pray, God, that we would receive
it. Yes, Lord.
Be submissive and obedient to your word and to your will. Father, I pray it be a blessing to each and every one of us tonight. We'll look to you to give you praise. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God indeed. Hope, like I said, I'm just excited about the word tonight. And I want to take a minute and just give you a little bit about this message, the way God gave it to me. I knew that I was going to be speaking tonight, and I was real excited about it, but I was asking the Lord what message He had or what verse He wanted us to use. And I was really, as I've said many, many times, I just love Him, and I always call Him an on-time God, and I know that statement is so popular. But our title tonight is judging of my life first. And to get into that example and to tell you where this message comes from, I want to talk a little bit about all of Matthew 7. I had an opportunity, and the brethren heard it last night at Band of Brothers. I had an opportunity Monday and Tuesday to be honored to go to jury duty. And I know that's kind of a drudgery for so many people. And I first said, oh, no. Because I'm supposed to be off on Mondays. And I told Elaine, I don't want to go. And she said, I don't think you have a choice. I think the sheriff will come get you. So got up and went. And as we were talking about this presentation, y'all can see some of my notes. I scribble all the time. I got a little Bible I carried in my Jeep, and I carried it in and had a piece of paper, and I just started writing things down. But I started thinking about judging and being a juror. I'm very blessed. I've never had to sit on a trial. I've been in the jury pool a few times, but I've never had to actually sit there and hear the trial go forward. I've been to that point to where I thought I was, but I wasn't called back. But this whole time, I was writing things down. And let me just kind of give you a quick rundown of what happens. For most of y'all, I know you've been there. Maybe you've been there too many times. But we went in the room, and we had to fill out a questionnaire at home. And if you didn't, you kind of got that ugly look. And they said, well, take this one, go fill it out, and bring it back to us. And it just asked different questions about your age, your address, this type of stuff. So when I gave it to him, they just told us to have a seat anywhere. And it wasn't shortly after. Apparently there was a big trial going on, or supposed to be, and they were in a hurry to get us going. So they called row, and at that time they gave you a number. And then in this time, I'm just sitting there, I'm kind of in awe, because I haven't been in this new room. The last time I was called was back in the old courthouse there in Carrollton. And he gave us all a number, and he says, remember this number. That way, if you have an excuse to get out, they're going to ask you for that number because they can find you quicker on the sheet. And he kept saying, we're shorthanded of jurors pool this today. Because, like I said, there was supposed to be one big trial, and it got moved, so they were trying to rush in a few more. And he sat there, and he gave us that number, and I started listening. And so they made the statement. They said, there's a few reasons you can be excused. But he said, only these reasons. And one of them was if you didn't live in the county anymore, or that address, if you were under 18, or if you were 70 or older, you had the option of declining. Another one was about your health, if you had a medical procedure going on, these type of things. So they were pretty specific. If you were full-time military, a student doing exams, but you had to bring documentation to prove everything. And, of course, I had none of the above. So I'm kind of in awe, and I'm making all these little notes. But one thing I wrote down, and so many times, it was just the way they put us in order. They had a certain rules. They had certain things to do. And I started thinking about judging, knowing that I had a message to do Wednesday night. And I just flipped in the back of the Bible and looked up judging and started reading scripture that goes along with it. And then it got to the point where the head clerk came in, and he was going to see all those that had the excuses. And there were 64 of us. I'm a number player, so y'all excuse me. I keep up with things. And there were 11 people got up that thought they had an excuse. So they went up there around the little corner. I could just see them in line. They said, line up down this hall. And they started different things. Some would come back and sit back down with us, and then just a few would disappear out the other door. And I'm sure they were skipping and hopping going out the door. But it wasn't many. And then the head clerk, he called himself, the judge clerk, the one that's actually over that part of it, worked right under the judge, he came in. Real nice speaking young man, but he thanked us, and he really said, we really need you, but I can see anyone that now that has any other things that we need to see, and certain things have to go in front of the judge. So as we were looking at that, I was looking at it, and he kept emphasizing that we were superior, it was a superior court, and these were criminal trials, and how important they were, and the different things going on. And I just wrote down to myself, and just thinking, along these words, it's kind of like the title, judging. And then as I looked this scripture up, we had a big pause. We had to wait. They told us to go back and sit down. And then they put us in line and gave us another number to remember, because that's the number the lawyers were going to know you by when they were picking their jury. So they put us back in order again. So I'm sitting there reading, and I got into the Matthew 7, and it says, judge not that ye may not judge or be judged. And I was reading about myself, and I'm thinking, who am I? You're going to hear the evidence. You're going to make all these things. But then I was thinking, I says, well, is it biblically? Is there something against judging? And I started reading. I'd always heard, judge not, lest ye be judged. And you're going to be judged the same way. I started looking at my life. I started thinking about it. And I started praying to myself and just really looking at this. But I started reading Matthew 7. I know I got to put all of it together. You don't just take out one little bit here and one little bit there. The total word from front to back is God's word to us, a living word. So I started reading it. And it talks about judgment forbidden, but then it gives you a little example. As we get on a little bit further down, it says, For with that judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with that measure of meat. And if you look that up, it is like a yardstick or a ruler or a way to measure, as you look that word up. And it says, it shall be measured to you again. And I know my life, and I know me, and I'm probably my worst critic. But I know that through the precious blood of Jesus Christ, I've surrendered it all to Him. But I still know who I am and things that I maybe have done or things that I'm going to do. And things that pop in your head and all these things. But then if I look down at 3 and it says, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye by considering not the beam that is in thy own eye? And if you look up in other translations, when it talks the beam in your own eye, they use the term log, how big it is, it's in your eye. But they say the moat is a splinter. And I know my eyes are bad enough now when I go to pull a splinter. Normally, you know, I don't hurt myself as bad when I'm pulling my own splinter, but I normally can't see it. I can't get to it. So when I was little, my mom would pull them, or dad, or Miss Elaine gets that honor now. My deck's getting old on the back, and I always run out there barefooted and get a splinter in there. But I tell you what, when she starts digging, it's like she knows where every nerve is and every little pinpoint. And she's saying, What are you grinching for? What are you making all this noise for? And I started thinking about that, and I'm thinking, you know, I could pull out my own and it's not as painful. But when I let someone else start digging around, the pain that's there. And I know I'm using a physical thing versus a spiritual, but this gets very spiritual to me. I was looking at it, and I think about that. And I get into 4, and it says, "Oh, how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thy own eye, and behold, a beam is in thy own eye." It says it again. And then it says, "Thou hypocrite." First, and this is where the Lord was showing me what to do. It says, first, cast out the beam out of thy own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly and cast out the mote of thy brother's eye. Clean my act up first. Live the life the way that God wants me to live, not the way Jim chooses to live. And then I started reading in 7, and the whole thing is full of a direction of life for me. If you take it, and y'all take chapter 7 here in Matthew, I don't know if you've ever done it. Maybe this is something you've all heard and you've all been part of, but please let this message come forth to me also. And it talks about, and then we go into 6, and it talks about giving that which is holy unto dogs, neither cast ye pearls before swine, lest they trample them under thy feet and turn again and rend you. And that's talking about the preciousness of God that we just throw out there, that how precious it is, and how the world or those situations will come and trample it underneath, and they really don't care about it. But as we get into 7, this is one that I had highlighted in this Bible, and matter of fact, it's highlighted in 2 different Bibles I was looking at. And it says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you." Seeking God and getting that answered promise from Him is something that, as I was seeking a direction for not only the message, but I needed guidance Monday morning. Because, like I said, I've never judged anyone and been in that situation, and I know some of y'all have. And I'm not just don't want to put somebody in stereotype. I don't want to put somebody in an area to where, by the way they're dressed or the way they're what they're wearing or what maybe marks are on their skin or maybe the color of their skin or maybe the way they're dressed. I don't want to judge by that. I was asking God for direction, and I wanted to seek Him. I've heard this all my life, and even in searching out the Holy Ghost, that was scripture that was given to me when I was learning about it and when I was asking God for His fulfilling. To seek Him, because He gets into very powerful here. "For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." And then He goes into explanation. So as I'm seeking God on judgment, and I was actually, truthfully, I was being convicted. This whole thing that happened, I'm looking at, like I said, there were 64 of us to start, and I don't know, I did not count how many came back. But you saw all different types. Different type of dress. Different type of, you know, not only male, female, but nationalities. You know, there were people I talked to that were sitting around me, you know, bless their hearts. I started talking. So I got to know a lot about a lot of folks sitting around me. Bless their heart, right? But there are those that didn't really want to be there. But then as we got involved, we had to go back the second day. And we went through it all again with long story short, that first trial that was so important, they took 44 up. And apparently when the new rule of thumb, I was told by this new type of, seemed like this, especially when it's criminal charges, they say about 97% are plea bargained. But they cannot legally take them up there and tell them you're going to court without a jury pool sitting there and waiting. So we had to sit there. That was our job, basically, was to sit there and just let those folks see 64 of us people and say, "Oh Lord, they're going to pick my life. They're going to make a decision on what me." There were some hard judgments ruled down. The one I mentioned, the guys last night, I don't know the charge, I don't know the person, But it was 30 years, served seven, no parole. So I don't even know what the charge was. I wasn't in that first 44 that went up. But it just got to where they were looking, and that person's looking out saying, they're going to judge me. But as I say this as a Christian and as a firm believer in the precious blood of Jesus Christ, I also know that when I go and I'm being judged, that that precious blood is covering me. That Jesus is stepping in my direction. He's going to step in and intercede for me because He's paid the price. But this whole thing about judgment and this whole thing about chapter 7, you get so deep into it, it even gives you explanations. You know, I just said, ask and it shall be given. Ye seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. Because it says this, and these are all familiar. I know you know them. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask for bread will give him a stone? Or if he ask for a fish would give him a serpent? If ye thee being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things unto them that ask Him? Praise God. That's powerful Scripture. Powerful Scripture. And if you could read my little scribbling here, I got things written sideways, backwards, upside down. That's just the way I do notes. I remember something that should go up here and back and forth. What I'm trying to tell you in this judging, and we're so quickly, I'm talking in general. I'm not pinpointing anybody here tonight. But as a society, we're so quick to judge. And there are things that you can be judged on so quickly. It could be your hair. It could be, like I said, your clothing. It should be your income, your education. There's so many things that affect. But who am I? You think about that beam that's in our eyes, and we're supposed to take a splinter out. Well, y'all don't know me well, but I don't see very well, especially one of my eyes. And if I'm digging something out or trying to get something small, Elaine's got little magnifying glasses in different spots, and I go and grab those magnifying glasses, and I'm trying to get to that point. But thank God of His love for me. He sees all the way through. He knows my heart. He knows what I want to do. And I wasn't doubting that the process of being on a jury was wrong, biblically or ethically. But for some reason, as I was reading it and I was seeking this message and I was seeking God's word to me, the whole thing fell apart. And then this afternoon it finalized. And I can take all of chapter 7 and I can break it down. But if we just read it and we break in, I'm just going to hit certain parts here. Therefore, all things whatever ye would that a man should do to you, do ye so to them. For this is the law and the prophet. That's in 12. And listen to this. He's telling me how to live. He says, enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. But listen to 14. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. That's the Word of God. This is in red in my Bible. That's Jesus Christ speaking. He's telling us in this direction, whether we're in the jury or whether we're the ones that are being convicted or whether our life day to day, that if I seek Him first and I follow His will and I go on the straight path, it says straight is the gate and narrow is the way. And that's the Word of God. I can take this whole thing and I say, judging of my life first. And He's telling me that if I follow Him and I go in the direction He would have, that He will release from me all the things that I burden myself down, that hold me back. And that's what God's doing. And it says, beware. Then He's warning us. This is my life now. But I'm talking about just chapter 7 here. All this that's in here. He says in 15, it says, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravaging wolves. It could be some false prophet. It's not even speaking the truth. They're using bits and pieces of the Word, trying to seduce, trying to impede, or trying to take us away from the Lord. But He says, beware of false prophets. Because if they don't speak what's in the Bible, in the truth, ye shall know them. Listen to this. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? That's exactly right. As we read this, it says, we know their fruits. If you're not judging, you're seeing their actions. You're hearing their words. You see them in their life. You know, I could dress up and I could put a pretty suit on or something, and you can judge me one way. But if you really know my life, you're going to know the truth. If you see the fruit that I lead. If I'm running around, but then on Sunday mornings I dress up, comb my hair, I can't be two people. 16, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. That's not that straight and narrow path, is it? It's cast into the fire. Wherefore, by these fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. But him that doeth the will of my Father. And that's what he's directing me for in chapter 7. I love it. Which is in heaven. Says, many will say to me, listen to this. This is so powerful. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? What does Jesus say? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And he's looking at our heart, but he's also are the fruits that we've lived, the life that we're living, the direction that we're going. And in 24, therefore, listen to this. This is where I want to always be. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Praise God. Who is that rock? Jesus, that's right. I put my life in Him and I live the way He wants me to live in the direction He'd have me to give. And listen to what happens when you're on the rock. It says, and then the rain descended and the flood came and the winds blew and beat upon the house and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon a sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And then I'll just go ahead and finish it. It came to pass that Jesus had ended these sayings. The people were astonished of his doctrine. Astonished? That's kind of a simple word to me. I understand what the Lord's put. But I would be so amazed to hear Jesus preach. And the Sermon on the Mount, and all that were gathered there together, throngs of people. And what were their thoughts? For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. I just went through Matthew 7. I didn't mean to go through all the way, but I've got some points here I want to bring out. If you think about judging a person, each and every one of us, somewhere along the line, has got some mud on our feet, maybe between our toes, maybe stumbled, maybe had a smear on our clothing. But there are things in our life that's come against us, whether it be hurt, pain, sorrow, death, that's blurred our vision. We talked Sunday morning in Sunday school about anger and about things that are holding us back. Sometimes we're so angry, we can't see the good in anything. So how am I going to judge someone if I have that built up in me? How am I going to judge someone if I'm not happy with myself? And just to make me feel better, I said, yeah, look at that person. I can tell. That was my fear Monday morning. I'll stand and do what I have to do. I'll do my duty, as they say. But I don't want to judge people on hearsay. I don't want to judge people on just the way they appear. I met a lady. I hadn't told Miss Elaine this. But it's okay. I met a lady Monday. That's a bad intro, isn't it? I know. I've been careful. They let us go early enough because we had to come back Tuesday. I was giving her a ride to Temple. Just looking at her, she was just another person that you couldn't really judge. Let me finish. All right? Remember, I'm up here. Don't judge. All right. Talking to her. She got a phone call, and her ride was at an AA meeting. So she asked me to turn around. I'd made it all the way up the bypass, fixing to go turn on 113 going to Temple. She says, "Can you take me back?" And I says, "Do you know where we're going?" She says, "Yeah, that's where I go to AA." And she says, "This person I sponsor." I said, "Oh, well, how long have you been sober?" And she says, "About 8 years." And then we started talking, and I said, "So you're from around here?" "No, I'm from Meriwether County, but I'm barred from going back there." She said, "I sold crack to a GBI agent." And we just started talking. I said, "What turned you?" She says, "I got tired of running." I said, "Do you know Jesus?" She said, "We talk about him a lot." I said, "Do you know Jesus?" I says, "You know, sometimes you hear that people have to get all the way to the bottom before they can climb their way back out." And then by that time, we were back in Carrollton. She got me to the right place. And she said she was disabled. And I said, "Well, how long have you been disabled?" She said, "Since 09 or something." She says, "Because I have HIV. And she said, "Well, now it's full-blown AIDS." And she was so calm. But to look at her, none of that history would I know. And I thank God for His mercy and grace on my family, but also for situations like that to wake me up. Who am I to judge? I'm not carrying the same luggage other people are carrying. My cross that I bear, and I use that phrase as we've used it so many times, when you judge other people or you think, "I want that life," you don't know what they're carrying. You don't know what burdens are in their heart. You know, you don't know who's praying to say, "God, walk with me no matter where I'm at. Guide me in whatever direction." This started with judging myself, and I've had a chance to really, I can't even read to you how many things I've written down, but as Miss Karen said, my prayer, and I just wrote this right here, is direct me. Use me. I want to be likened as a wise man. This scripture here, the fruit test, that's what I wrote down. Where's your fruit tonight? How's it growing? Is it plenteous? Is it sweet? Or does it need healing? Does it need purging? What does a vine dresser do? They prune off the dead. They clip back the growing. My dad has the prettiest fig tree you've ever seen. Well, it's supposed to be bushes, I think, but his is a tree. It's just huge. But you know, every winter, if you don't cut it back, the fruit comes from the new growth as it sprouts up. And it grows up. So we get up in a ladder. I've been up in the top of that thing trimming and doing this kind of stuff. I want the Lord to prune me when necessary. I want Him to guide me when necessary. I want to be able to stand firm. Not that I can judge. Now please, I'm not saying this so I can be good on a jury or good in judgment. But I want to be able to live the life that when I go home to be with the Lord and hear those marvelous words, "Enter in, that good and faithful servant." And I know I need that song that when I stumble, He picks me up. And it's not wipe the dust off. He wipes the sins off. And that's where I repent. That's where I repent and say, "Lord, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to think that. I didn't mean to say that. I didn't mean to do that. Lord, if there's anything I've done that I don't even know, I don't want to hurt feelings." If y'all knew what this week's been like, and it's very, very challenging for me, because I thank y'all for letting me bring this message that was given to me tonight, and I hope it helps someone in here tonight. But I don't want to get so hard and stiff-lipped that I can't be humble and reach out and help those that need helping or lift up those that need lifting up. Or I don't want to be one of those that walks around that injured person on the road. Maybe the next guy will stop and help him. I want to be like the Good Samaritan. Not only do I want to give first aid and healing and comforting, when I take him to the inn, I want to be able to say, if there's anything else owed, I'll cover it. Those are bold words. So I have to be careful what I ask God. Those are bold, bold words. But I'm telling y'all tonight, before we judge, I'm asking each and every one of you, look in that mirror. Let the Lord prick your heart. And if there's something that's festering, something that's making you angry, something that's hurt you, release it to Him. And let's don't build our house on the sand that's so flimsy, or as the waves toss us to and fro. Let's build on that solid rock. I love y'all tonight, and I thank y'all for this. It's kind of more emotional for me, and I wish I could read you all the things, but I even wrote down, can I even make eye contact with these folks? And then I wrote, how do we judge others? Or who am I to have an opinion? But I asked God for that discernment. He gave me how to do that, and that's judging, seeing the fruit, right? He told me how to live. He told me to be careful against those in sheep's clothing, that they're like venomous wolves, you know, and those are my words. But in so many things, He tells me how to build my house, my life, and that's on Him. That's Jesus Christ. And that's what we have to do. There's victory in this. Everything I'm saying is so positive. Because if we don't get to the bottom of it right now, if we don't get to a point, this world wants to destroy you. This world wants to make us so unhappy, so unsatisfied, that even our spouse isn't good enough anymore. That grass looks so green that how many times you go by a pasture and that poor cow or horse has got his head so stuck through, trying to reach that last little bit. We need to be, praise God, for where we are, what He's given us, who we have, our lives that He's given us, and worship Him in truth in everything that we have. We cannot go on, even as a church. We've got to continue to love those that come in. We've got to continue. Of course, we have to be aware of situations. We have to be wise, and we ask for God's discernment in situations. But we have to also trust Him and reach out to Him and let Him take us by the hand and guide us. We talked about it last night, and I'm not saying anything that's not supposed to be said, but we talked about a door being slammed shut in a direction we thought we were going, that we wanted to go. And instead of getting upset and carrying on, it's just put it all in God's hand and says, okay, which door are you opening next? I'm ready. He may just want us to stop right there for a minute and regroup. I love y'all. And I'm not stepping on any toes any more than my heart and my has been stepped on. But I praise God for Him ministering to me. I praise God for Him letting me ask these questions. Because when I come at Him and I go, who am I that a king would die for? Who am I? Do you realize He left heaven, the perfect everything. He left His throne to come and walk on this earth, to thirst, to be tired, to be tempted, to be hungry, to be beaten, spat upon, whipped, abused, put on a cross that was the biggest emblem of shame. It was the worst of the worst. That's where the worst criminals went. But He did it for me and for you. I praise God for His love. Praise the Lord. I just want y'all to know how much I love you. I'm going to close. I know it's Wednesday night. Kids have got school. Yes, ma'am. Please, go right ahead. Floor is definitely, we're supposed to have altar call, so you go right ahead. Perfect timing. Thank you. Wonderful, wonderful. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. Thank you. Thank you all.